Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all review a wine from Alexander Valley in California in Goldschmidt Vineyard's Crazy Creek Fidelity Red. So sit back, relax, and see how the Californians do Bordeaux here on the Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I'm joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Good evening, and shout out to Jeff Duamici if you're listening to us tonight.
No, that's true. We are also joined by the Triple B. The Triple B. She won't speak.
I'm here.
Don't Good speak. Evening. I know just what you're thinking. So please stop complaining. Don't tell me because it hurts. Is that how the song goes, Scott?
I don't know.
Okay.
What
I don't know.
Exactly you're talking
It was
about.
No doubt. I was don't no speak.
Doubt. That wasn't even close.
No, I didn't think so.
It was
so.
Good.
Thank you.
Mm. You're welcome.
Oh my Lord.
I saw Gwen Stefani turn 50.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. No,
yes, because it is.
A woman can be any age that she wants to be.
She can be, but I'm just
women
saying.
Women are fierce and powerful.
Your I don't know.
Breath is fierce and powerful.
I don't know.
What does that
Sometimes
even
that's
mean?
True. I don't know. You wouldn't know because you're a woman hater. Still.
Jesus.
Menage. Yeah, bastard. Anyway.
Go back to working on writing my name.
That's okay. On tonight's show, folks, we have a new winery that we're going to be featuring. A couple different wines from their portfolio. I almost said their shit. From their portfolio. I might say that after the fact.
Their shed.
Their shit. No, their
shit shed.
Hell, they might be the new Fry Brothers. I don't know. This is Nick Goldschmidt Vineyards, or Winery. Actually, yeah. Nick Goldschmidt Winery. And this is their Fidelity Red. It's from Alexander Valley in California, in Sonoma. And I like Alexander Valley a lot. But
do
this,
you?
I do. I know. This is their Bordeaux style blend.
Last time I said that, I got married.
Oh, that's true. Which time?
Again.
Oh.
I know. This is a
that's
blend
a
of.
That's a good segue for.
What?
Weddings?
Weddings, anniversaries.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there are those once a year. Anyway.
What?
I'm not to that yet.
Oh, my God.
Don't pressure me.
Anyways.
Do you got lyrics to a song that's Don't Pressure Me?
No. Under Pressure.
Under Pressure, yeah. Sorry.
Regardless.
I'll go back to not speaking.
Yes, okay. Why don't you just write your name mm-hmm. in block letters like you're cool. This is 77% Merlot, 10% Petit Verdot, and 13% Cabernet Sauvignon.
Interesting little blend.
It is. 12 months on oak. And it's 15% new French oak, so the rest of it must be old. Which is interesting. This is from their Crazy Creek Vineyard as well.
I'm
so
the most excited
Crazy
about
Creek
that.
State.
Yes. There's a lot of, I would say, their provenance. They're putting a lot of interesting things in a wine that only costs $19.99, which is interesting.
I'm very anxious about drinking it because I feel like your hopes are a little high.
Well, no. I'm curious.
Because he's got...
I mean, I'm looking here. Soon on the show, we're going to have their Alexander Valley Cabernet, which is $20.
Mm-hmm.
They have a Oakville Cabernet for $30. You know, they have another one. What's that? This is from just a Calistoga for $30. It goes on. They have really interesting prices. That's some of the stuff. They have a more expensive Alexander Valley, but they're all single vineyard stuff. And it's all... Yeah. Accessible, and it's all available on wine.com too, by the way.
Also,
yes,
they have wines from New Zealand.
They do.
And Argentina.
Well, the Triple B will go through their backstory, but they are originally from New Zealand, so there's one reason why Becky might like them. They do have New Zealand properties, and they also make something out of Argentina, I do believe, as
yeah.
well.
Chakras.
So they have a wide portfolio and some interesting, interesting wines. They really are encompassing both Napa and Sonoma and good reds, mostly Cabernet and Merlot-based things. Or they even have a good Zinfandel in the Fidelity line. And Fidelity is more of their introductory level, but it's quite a lovely label. It kind of reminds me of Annabella, the color of it, doesn't it?
It really does.
Reminds you of what?
Annabella.
The label for Annabella, which we'd like that.
Mm-hmm. If this is like that, that'd be great at $20.
Yeah.
And so
Annabella's maybe a little more than that?
No, 17. Right now you can get it for $17.99.
Okay.
But I think sometimes it can be in the low 20s. You're right. So, folks, this is an exciting wine for me. Nobody else. It probably will taste like ass, but that's okay. Nevertheless, when we come back, we're going to give you more information. We're going to titillate you. We're going to excite you. Scott's going to try to turn you on.
Didn't mean to turn you on.
Which, that's a good time to change the channel, but I think there's true crime somewhere. Nevertheless, you can listen to that. Or stay here on the Wine Vault. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So the 2018 Fidelity Red Wine by Goldschmidt Winery in California. We're going to go over to the Triple B, who's going to give us some facts and figures about this wine.
So I feel like the most exciting thing about this is that it's Crazy Creek Estate. I think that's just really funny. So the winemaker has farmed the Crazy Creek Estate for over 25 years and just loves the quality of fruit, vintage after vintage. So we'll see how it tastes. But anyways, here's the tasting notes. Color is a purple hue with a red middle.
Okay.
What do you think? Confirm? Deny? Aromas of fresh blueberries and red cherries. The touch of French vanilla oak rounds out a very enticing and complex nose. The palate is again fruit-driven, bright and well-structured with red fruit flavors and a supple finish. Tremendous value for a red blend from a winemaker of more than 30 years in the Alexander Valley. Drink now or over the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And this wine does have one review, and that is from The Wine Spectator.
Oh.
And they wrote, we were paid five... No, I'm sorry. let me start this again. Oh, don't... Okay, yeah. They crossed that line out. Black currant, dried raspberry, chocolate mocha flavors are flanked by dried green herbal notes. Truffle and allspice accent shows on the finish. Merlot, Cabernet, and Petit Verdot drink now through 2024. And that is 90 of their points. Hmm. And they are not known for being a lady of the night with their points.
What?
Can we talk about...
They're not whorish with their points, Scott.
How dare you?
What are you talking about? Yes?
Can we review... Because I really don't drink that much Merlot, and it's been a while since I've had one.
Uh-huh.
Can we review why they would add Petit Verdot and Cab to Merlot?
Well, it depends on the quality of their Merlot, but probably... Well, the Petit Verdot might be for tannin.
Yeah.
And structure, mostly, right there. Mm-hmm. Now... the Cabernet, probably more of a rounder fruit to round out that fruit. But not having had what their version of Petit Verdot and their version of Cabernet and their version of Merlot tastes like, we will find out. I mean, I don't imagine that this is going to, you know...
What are you doing, Bo?
Get
Get out of there.
That's what he's asking you.
I don't believe this is going to taste like Saint Emilion. I'm just guessing. It will not.
But it's a blend you might possibly find there. It'd be a little weird.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna be more of the 60%, 60-ish percent, and then 30 more Cabernet, and then trace amounts of
Petit Verdot.
More probably, well, because they don't use a lot of Petit Verdot now. Remember, on the ripening issue, Malbec, things of that nature probably be a little more prominent.
Cab Franc, maybe.
Yes, Cab Franc would be correct.
But it's a play on a French blend.
Yes. Let's just call Petit Verdot is a Bordeaux grape.
Yeah,
so.
Let's just call it a play on a French blend.
Well, in the glass.
Why not?
Yeah. It is lovely.
Is it purple on the outside, red on the
what
inside?
What are you doing?
He's just lost his mind.
No, I meant Scott.
Oh,
look at that.
Bo's just lost his mind, though.
We're having an attack of the killer doodle.
He's out of sorts since our internet provider came to see us today, and he just is...
Yeah, Scott has splashed wine all over his facts and figures.
Uh-oh.
All I heard
better,
was a...
Better than a kill by the dog.
What was the dong?
That was the... Him,
Bo, stop.
The glass hit the top of the table while it was in my hand. He jumped on my left hand that I was holding the glass.
Moron,
tell
dog.
Him to get down.
Bo.
Sit.
I think Bo, for some reason, was sniffing down by my crotch. And I had to knock him out of there. And then he's obviously angered by my threatening motions towards him. And so now he attacked you.
This has been a really stressful day for him.
He's stupid.
Oh.
He felt bad that you spurned his sexual advances.
Ew.
It was not sexual in nature.
He was in your crotch.
Ew.
Not real. I mean, in the area, but not sniffing my crotch.
Oh.
Okay, let's move on.
That's true.
Poor dog.
Inappropriate. So, on the nose. Well, the... Vanilla is prevalent on this nose.
Ooh,
wow.
Is.
Mm-hmm.
In a really pleasant way, though. Not
yes.
in a...
No, yes.
Yeah.
Blueberry.
Mm-hmm.
Red raspberry.
Yeah, raspberry's where I was going to go, too. Yeah.
I think they said that, didn't they? Somebody made that. Well, the winemakers made that.
You get a little... Dusty stone, something along that.
Well, there's something dusty there, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something.
Maybe limestone, something like
that. What a nice nose.
It is a nice nose.
I was thinking, sometimes we've had like a brambly nose or an elegant nose. This is just really pleasant. Like very, very nice.
The fruit is quite pronounced and sweet.
But it's not
on the sweeter
but
side
it's not
of a berry.
Fruity. It's very. It smells of a sophisticated nature.
It
let's
does.
Just say that
the fruit is prevalent, but that vanilla balances it out. It's it's a quite strong nose. It's one of the more, shall I say, vibrant noses we've
what's
had.
Vibrant?
That's a great
long,
word for it.
Long time.
Mm-hmm. And this
I
has
was
been,
thinking bold, but vibrant's a much better word for it.
We've had some really nice noses, but all more subtle. This is one of the bigger noses we've had in a long, 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 long time.
And this has been decanted for about an hour and a half.
Nice.
And it has evolved over that hour and a half and gotten better.
Yeah.
You didn't mention what the glassware we're using tonight.
Just Riedel Bordeaux glasses.
Very nice.
Venom series.
Taste.
Oh, yeah. It's time to taste.
I'm a little nervous.
Yeah.
I want this to be good. You know, and I try not to do that. Not like Rob, who he's always wanting everything to be good. Or being hate on it. And putting his hate on it.
Hmm. Well.
That's your phone, not mine.
It is my phone.
It doesn't taste what... Like I expected it to.
No. First of all, it is ripe, inviting. What is that fruit? There's rhubarb.
It's really just...
Raspberry.
Yeah. But that rhubarb, that...
Red
that,
fruits.
That kind of... Not sourness from rhubarb, but that distinct...
slightly stemmy, but not in a bad way.
Yeah.
It's medium body, naturally.
Yeah.
You get the dustiness there on the tip of your tongue and slightly the bit of astringency, too. It has a slight cherry cordial flavor to it. Just light. A very light, lithy bit of it, which is interesting.
Almost like cherry cola with it. There's like something close to a cola with that.
Cherry is definitely there.
Cherry's there.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
There's something right as soon as this makes contact with the mouth. Mm. There's something really round there that's... It's not even fruit. It's almost like a hazelnut. As soon as it makes contact.
Well, there's mocha. There's gobs of mocha. Mocha is that dustiness that comes through. And that's the oak helping create that, I think.
There's also something on the finish. That's where I was mentally stuck. There's something on the finish as well that I can't.
It's towards minerality, but it's not. It's almost like an earthy spice, but I think it's past that.
Yes, yes.
Headed towards
yes.
minerality.
Yeah. Allspice. Yeah. They mention allspice. I'm not sure if I would go that way.
I don't think so.
More nutmegish kind of.
Yes.
Well, that's part of allspice. Isn't it? Hmm. Yes, on the finish, it does have...
I'm not sure nutmeg.
It does have a...
I think I would go... What I am sensing isn't the nutmeg as much as it is some kind of minerality.
Yeah.
There at the end. Like a stone minerality, honestly.
Well, it has like that dustiness that goes across it, which is... Mm-hmm. To me, I taste that backstrap of slight mocha that kind of blends with it because mocha is dusty. They could be considered separate. One is minerality, one is a flavor.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of work well together in a certain sense.
I think it's more perplexing to me that minerality is the finish instead of like the oak. You know, like what lasts the longest for me is the minerality.
Yeah, or the minerality being somewhere else in the wine, a little more towards the middle.
Right,
but and it. It's not quite naked at the finish, the minerality, but it's more prevalent there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wonder what the soils are at this spot right here.
Mm. Crazy.
Interesting.
Crazy creek.
For sure. Crazy creek. You know, this is a bit of a thinking wine.
It is.
I actually wrote down food pairing, too. From the first drink, I have no idea what I would pair this with.
Hmm.
I think it would pair just fine with about anything. It's just nothing jumps out at me.
Mushroom,
similar to you. Nothing,
a mushroom risotto.
Yeah. The earthiness of mushroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. That it's earthy foods.
Yeah.
Because it also, that bright raspberry, cherry, rhubarb is a nice contrast. But then it has that minerality on the finish that helps, you know, kind of follow that up. Really pasta dishes too. I'm thinking like, I had a long time ago, it was, stuffed shells at, Scally's, and it was, minced mushrooms and, sausage in the shells.
And finely diced mince on the sausage too. With the mushrooms. That's such a nice pairing.
Yeah.
Just such a nice pairing. You just do that almost like a saute, but you get a little bit of crispy bits going and the mushrooms are cooked down.
You remember that we had that that lamb ragu at Martini's.
Yeah,
this would be nice with that.
Yeah,
those earthy pasta dishes. This would be just wonderful with. And you don't normally say, I'm going to drink Merlot with it, but this would do that. It's just the way it is. It's just kind of an oddball in a certain sense, but it's a good oddball.
Yeah.
But it does need those foods. That just makes my mouth water to think about this wine with those, because it would make this so much better. Mm-hmm. What else? What else do we have upstairs that I could cook real quick?
Just anything with mushrooms, I think, would be fine with this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just sautéed mushrooms, and which is unusual for this, you know, a Bordeaux-style red, even though it didn't taste Bordeaux.
When you were saying that, I was like, I don't know that I would say that this is Bordeaux style, but the mushroom earthiness, that is Bordeaux style-ish.
It's ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's California's, if they're going to get close to that, what is it going to be?
Yeah.
At $20, you know?
I don't think you can say this is a French style blend.
No, it
but it has some characteristics.
Yes.
That equate just the way there's so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about the wine on the palate is subtle.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Okay, I guess maybe the fruit's not as subtle as you would say a Bordeaux blend fruit could be subtle. I'm okay with that. But
but when you think the grapes that you have there, I have moths in my mouth. That bright cab and that bright Petit Verdot is shining through and singing along with the Merlot, and it's not surprising. You know what would be great? I recently had Via Marsala.
When did you have that?
Where's Scalise?
Tell us about that.
I had Via Marsala.
Mm. Did you?
And it was lovely. And this would capers is another thing that this would do well with.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I was also thinking how truly ghastly this would be with American oak.
Oh, yes. Oh, no. Don't hold your tongue.
I know. I was just thinking about that.
Imagine that, Scott. Charred oak. They would throw this in throw it in the bin.
And it would take away, like, the subtleties of
everything.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yes. Because there are wines that go down this line fruit-wise that are just put out of balance by charred oak. You can't treat this like other wines. You have to treat this in a distinct fashion, which they did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Merlot's not my favorite wine. But this is interesting, and it is a thinking wine, like Scott said.
Yeah,
I just think some Merlots just aren't treated properly. They just aren't. They don't. And kudos to this winemaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, this isn't their top of the line, but it
drinks
of a top of the line wine.
Yeah. Oh, if you drank this right now, what would you say?
That's exactly what I was going to ask you, my friend. More than $20.
Oh, cost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wouldn't be disappointed if somebody said this was $40.
Here, that way that you don't throw it. Here, Becky's making noise.
I would not be disappointed if somebody said this was $40. No,
I
wouldn't either.
I was also thinking the only thing that I wish that this had more was tannin. But it's so subtle, I don't know how that would go in it. But that is something that I really like in a red. But
it could be bigger overall. But what they didn't do that.
This is their entry price stuff.
Yeah, they don't have cheap. I mean, they don't have expensive either. They just have kind of that.
I don't think this is intended to be set down for any length of time.
No, Spectator said
like 5 years.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years. I don't think that's to age it. That's just saying, hey,
you could.
Here's a window. You know, just get to it.
Mm-hmm. For me, this is more of a drink now wine.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. In the next year, just you buy a couple bottles and you just drink through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you don't worry about it.
Yeah, you
label's beautiful, but you know, make a candle out of it.
It makes me want to drink more of their stuff. That's for sure.
Well, we're gonna do that. That's for sure.
It's also a pretty gifting wine. The label's really pretty, so it's a nice.
But this is the thing: the wine inside it appeals to people that are a little more accustomed and maybe a little bit more traveled in wine drinking than
that's fair.
Than Mayomi drinker.
This isn't the one you Came introduce somebody to red wine about.
Right.
No, I think it's approachable. But
it's approachable, but I think that the nuance would be lost on them.
That's the point. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
But.
And they're going to say, it's not this or that. It's not big enough. It's not this or that. It doesn't have this big juicy mouthfeel. It's not a juicy wine in a certain sense. It's not this drippy Cali bullshit. It's not that.
You lost that when you said rhubarb.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Even though it does have that raspberry and the cherry going on. But let's be honest. This wine has 8, 9, 10 things going on in it.
Oh, easily. Easily. Easily, easily, easily.
I think some of it's subtle and takes some work picking it out. You know, we bandied about what the minerality was, the mocha, the minerality. There's something on the front of that I haven't described or heard the description of yet. I threw out hazelnut, but there's something right when it hits your front palate before the other fruit starts, there's mm-hmm. something there.
Okay. It would be different. A bitch of a blind tasting wine. Wow. Although you might be able to get the Merlot because the astringency on the mid palate, but the flavor profile doesn't really scream Merlot.
I would struggle forever on it.
Especially
like beautiful. I mean, I don't know that you would. I don't think I would be able to get anything domestic.
Right. Mm. Some kind of red blend. Mm-hmm. That's the closest.
Well, yeah, well, you'd be right though.
You'd be right in the most.
Yeah.
Global sense.
Well, they'd say, well, what do you think's in there? Not Zin, not Petit Sirah. So what are you left with? Well, yeah. Scott, do you know? Maybe you don't know. You would be left with Merlot blend. You probably would be. You'd say some sort of claret.
I don't know what I would say.
I mean, it's not really. It doesn't have all the grapes it needs to have to be a claret. But the idea is the same.
It's the idea.
Would you be able to guess domestic, though?
Yes.
You would?
Yeah, it doesn't taste like anything else.
Would you be able to get domestic?
I don't know.
I think you underestimate how challenging it is when you know nothing about the wine.
But remember, he doesn't do that with us.
I'm like,
he puts it on us.
Yes. I'm not stupid. But this is the thing. Where else would you go to? I mean, here's the question. Where else would you go to? What does it taste? I mean, the truth is, it's not like you couldn't drink something that tastes like this in some other country.
Yeah.
But I'd not had that in another country readily. I didn't have that much here either.
It's
but
so difficult when it's a blind tasting.
I know. It's
I
not
don't
easy.
Know.
But if you sat down and started doing process of elimination, what is it not? It's not Shiraz. It doesn't taste of Aussie because Aussie doesn't have subtlety. At least nothing that we drink.
Probably not Italian.
No, it's not Italian. It doesn't taste Italian. It's not French, probably because the fruit's too bright. Not to say there couldn't be a French wine that tastes like this, but...
I would be...
Not usually.
The fruit would be... It would be throwing you off, but I think I know that I would be hung up on the oaking, and I would have a hard time getting out of Europe.
The fruit, though. I mean, now, if someone said, is it Washington or California, I would say, well, California, because it's law of averages, and they make more wine than Washington, so I'm probably right. There is a big difference.
I could do Northern Hemisphere. Like, I would know that this wasn't Australian. I would know that this isn't South American. But I don't know that I would...
See, that's the thing. The South American, assuming that somebody's not going to throw some bullshit, it's Uruguay, in on you. The South American, I could see how some versions of Bordeaux blends that are down there might do this. Mm. Because we haven't had them all. And so but it doesn't taste really that green either. I don't know.
I think you just underestimate how challenging it is.
Well,
I'm going to work on getting some wine.
You go ahead. Well, you mean you've done that before, but I mean, Scott got us on that Italian thing over there, but I don't remember what that tasted like. Oh, it tasted like Pinotage to me. But then again, where would you get a Pinotage? But I thought it tasted like Pinotage. It was a very good wine, though.
It really was.
Do you think you would go domestic?
Let me taste it. I just don't know where else you could go. That's the thing. Maybe South African, because it is a little funky, and some of their stuff tastes a little funky. But
I think process elimination, if to try to say what it's not. But you know, for me, sometimes it's they go hand in hand. You're trying to think what the varietal is and where it's from all at the same time, and then. Yeah. You get one wrong, then what's the chance of getting the other right too, you know?
Yeah.
But
now that I taste it more and more, it makes sense when you know, because I do taste the Merlot, because I taste the astringency and I taste the baker's chocolate. Mm. I'm not going to say, I'm going to say, oh, it's predominantly Merlot. It's 70. Is that 76 or 77? No. Right now, though, I am tasting the Merlot more and more. This thing, though, needs to open up. That's the thing. It needs to open up for a while before it really sings. The cheddar also brings it out a little bit.
It's too. Really good.
Yeah.
I'm not disappointed by this. I wanted to like mm-hmm. it. I wanted it to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not disappointed.
I think it's a little funkier than what we thought, but that's mm-hmm. cool. We like that. We like funky.
And not funky in that
no.
the wine's funky. It's just a little unusual.
Yeah, different.
Eclectic.
Yep.
But it's what you want in a good wine, mm-hmm. right? Something that's distinctive.
Interesting. Well, you'll remember it.
I think the winemaker would be happy mm-hmm. for us to say it's eclectic because that yeah, means yeah. they did their job.
Yep.
And kudos to...
Hell yeah, I'd pour 10 glasses. Mm-hmm. And I'd put a lampshade over my head and call myself a new name.
Well, or one of your old names.
Yeah.
Clifford.
No.
Yes.
Alejandro. Oh, hello.
My Lord.
Oh, it is. Yeah, you're right. Nevertheless, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back with a very exciting potpourri.
Okay.
They're going to be excited. They are going to like this. Tonight, here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So in tonight's potpourri, we are going to do a variant of the classic Wine Vault game, Drink, Dump, Collect. And it's not keep, it's collect. It always was. But because...
Say it again so I can write those words down.
Drink, Dump, Collect. Because it is near March Madness. We are going to do our own version of the tournament.
The bracket.
Now what we're going to do is, folks, we have three groupings of three wines. And we're going to do drink, dump, collect for each one of them. And then we're going to put the dumps in a bracket. We're going to put the drinks in a bracket. And we're going to put the collects in the bracket. And we're going to see at the last three, we're going to see who's the best dump. We're going to do that with all the wines, basically.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Oh,
elimination.
Okay. I see.
I yeah. You know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Out there, if you don't know what I mean, doesn't matter. You've already hit the skip button anyway. So here we go. Folks, the first three.
I'm so jealous of you all because this wine, I would love to have another glass of it.
Yes, but she's pregnant. We already know.
Right.
So, yes.
She
already had a 32 ounce glass. They said it's safe.
Uh huh. Okay, let's go ahead.
Becky goes, has her doc. She goes right across the border to Tijuana.
Uh huh.
To a clinic. That's, uh-huh. that's her OB. Safe. It's okay. Anyway,
it would be a lot cheaper.
Trump wouldn't let you do that, by the way. He's gone now.
What's it called? Donkey Hall?
Something like that. It was Donkey Kong. I don't know what that is. But,
all right. First three.
The first three, folks. And these are all good wines, by the way. Or, well, okay, wines. They are Ridge, Three Valleys.
Mm.
Chateau Bordeneau, number one. And Vagio Aggi Malbec. Oh, now, we're all going to...
Whoever, no, I just don't remember that third one.
It was delicious.
Did I have it?
Yes. I none of these wines are ones you did not have.
Is it that Vaglio?
That's the only Vaglio it is.
Well, maybe, sometimes you say things with such a weird accent. I don't know what you're saying.
I mean, I pronounce them properly. Let me try this again. Vagio Aggi. Does that sound familiar to you?
What was the other one? Ridge. And
Vaglio.
Stop. Oh. And what else?
And Chateau Bordeneau, number one. Down there.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh. Oh. All right. And so.
Well, we kind of have to play the game, right? We kind of have to do this together, don't you think?
Well, we're going to. So yeah. The ones that will give points associated with it. So a drink gets 2 points, a collect gets 3 points, and a dump gets 1 point.
Oh.
And the wine that gets the most points is obviously the collect or, you know, so forth. It's called math.
Okay.
So we're going to go over to the triple B. What is your drink, dump, collect?
I don't know. I think my drink...
Oh.
I don't know. I'm debating. I'm only thinking about Ridge. And if I want it to be my drink or my collect.
Collect is more points.
I know, but I'm just thinking about... When we had Ridge, we all looked up what they had, wanted to buy, and if it's something that you would want to keep or if you would just want to drink it all immediately.
Well, you just could buy a lot to the point where you couldn't drink it all immediately. That's what's called collecting and being an alcoholic and having a great life.
It is a good life.
I think I'm going to say collect Ridge.
There you go.
I'm the same way.
Are you?
Yeah.
Did you have a hard time, or did you know that's what you wanted to do?
That's what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think the most ageable wine of the group is the Ridge, and I'm going to give that the 3. Next,
did you have a hard time with that, or is it just me?
No. I mean, Vage, though, I mean, I hold that back, too, but hold that back as to I really want that, although I gave the Vage a higher score, but I love them both, but Ridge is just cooler.
So
look
good.
At this. This look at this random Argentinian Malbec I have. Okay.
That's the drink.
Yes, it is the drink. Rob 2, Scott is 2. Becky, what is your drink? Do you agree with Vajlio Agi as a drink?
I don't think so.
You hated Chateau Bourdonnais.
I did hate it?
Yes.
Did I hate it, but I scored it okay?
You got the Russian music.
I did?
Oh, yes.
Okay, then if you remember, then have at it.
Well, that was easy enough. All right.
I don't remember that.
So.
What's the one that I really liked that was the French one?
That's a good question. Chateau Ponet Canet.
Yeah,
oh,
Ponet Canet.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
It's not in the competition today.
Okay.
Just say it.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah.
Ridge Napa, Chateau Ponet Canet.
Okay.
No.
As soon as I saw it right up there when you said it, and I was like, oh, that's what it was, and that's not. Okay.
That normally is how things work for that one. So, Ridge Three Valleys moves on to the collect bracket, and I'm just going to write that down. Collect. Drink. I am very prepared. Dumb.
I can help, too. I like to write this down.
Yeah, but you write in block letters. So, Ridge is onto the elite bracket. Next, the 3 wines are, probably not as exciting, but Martin Ray, Napa Cabernet, Skyside, North Coast Cabernet, and the Fidelity that we're drinking right now.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no one of you reacted. Yeah, okay.
I think that's an easy one.
Is it?
I don't remember the Martin Ray.
There's a reason.
It was very much like Skyside.
There's a reason. I think it's easy.
Is it?
I do. I mean, you could argue over the two, but...
Which one's cheaper?
So would you say collect the Fidelity?
Easy.
And then...
By far.
I don't remember the Martin Ray.
Do you remember the Skyside?
Yeah.
Then you remember the Martin Ray. More or less, same thing. Good enough. I'm going to do that on that one. I'm going to dump. Okay. I know, got mine.
I think I would dump Martin Ray. I vaguely remember it.
Right, that's 2 of us. Okay. And you're going to drink the Skyside. Scott, what are you doing?
I'm going to just to be different, go the other way, but that doesn't change our team score.
No. So I will dump Martin Ray, drink Skyside, and collect Fidelity. Scott will dump Skyside, drink Martin Ray. Apparently, and collect Sky and Fidelity. And Becky will dump the Martin Ray, drink the Skyside, and collect Fidelity. So that sends Fidelity on to the collector's bracket. It's not going to do well, I don't think, though, so far. It's the underdog.
That's fine. It's okay. It still made the bracket. Yeah. It advanced.
It did.
Yeah. It might be like the last four in.
And Skyside goes to the drink.
This was actually the play-in bracket. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Skyside goes to the drink bracket.
Yes, it does. And then Chateau, number one, and then Martin Ray. Okay, so the last three, folks. This is a powerhouse.
Cool. Okay.
Camus Cabernet.
Okay.
Not their special selection, just the regular, in case you were wondering. Heights Napa Cabernet. Mm-hmm. And then?
Just the Napa.
Just the Napa, not Trailside. Then Turley Napa Cabernet.
Ooh. Interesting.
It's not that interesting, but yeah, okay. Over the triple B.
Well, I feel like you chose the Turley Napa Cab purposefully.
What? It was one that was comparable that everybody at this table has drank? Yes, that's correct.
But it's not my favorite.
That's okay, but everybody at this table has drank it. There was a qualification there. Not everybody at this table has drank the other things. I mean, I could say Pride. I've drank Pride. No, Con Creek. I've had that. You guys have it. Matter of fact, there's 10,000 things I could put out there, but it doesn't make a difference because not everybody at this table has had them.
Yeah, to play the game right, we have to howl.
Yeah, it would help. Yeah. So I knew that was the case.
Or, I mean, I suppose there are some things out there that we could play the game with outside of that, but it's not the same game.
No, it's not the same game.
You all go. I'm still debating.
Sophie's choice. Go ahead, Scott. I'll do it. I'll go first.
Go ahead. You go first.
I'm not a sissy. I'm going to collect Heights because I collect Heights. And then I'm going to drink Turley. Then I'm going to dump that damn Camus in the sink. I might lick the sink afterwards because I don't love Camus, but it's still tasty. But that's what I'm going to do.
Did you write it down the same?
Drink Turley.
Oh, okay.
Collect Heights. Oh, my gosh, Scott.
I had the same thing written
down. I'm so proud of you.
I had the same thing.
Oh, nice job, everybody. I thought you might want to keep Camus. Although, Camus is tasty. It's just...
And it's not bad to keep, you know.
I've got a bottle of Camus. A liter bottle.
A liter? I think I've got a liter sitting.
The 11? That's when they were really selling them.
I think that I had a little bit of a complex about it because... What? In another bracket, we're collecting Fidelity. And then now we're like, okay, dump Camus. Like, that's just hard. You know, well, it's hard to...
But this is the game. He did this on purpose to you. But you could
have... I wrote it down. And then you started talking and I was like, that's what I've written
down. Are you secretly a lover of Camus?
I think that... I've said this multiple times. Camus is an extremely... The drinkability of Camus is very high.
Yeah.
It's very high. Yeah.
I'm not criticizing. I just did not know this.
I don't think it's complex. I don't think it's anything that's like earth shattering. Mm-hmm. But I think it is extremely drinkable, really, and that's good. Why people freak out about it.
No, it's really good, but it's also $100.
Yeah, I
should be 70.
I used to work with people that really exalted Camus, and so I think my expectation of it was really different than what it is. But it is just like you could pour it down your throat.
I mean, for the people that drink Camus, drink Silver Oak, drink Jordan, or Jordan, as some dumbasses pronounce it. You're going to find similar pleasures. Now, those are... Jordan is Sonoma, I think. But I know Silver Oak I'm referring to is the Alexander Valley. The Napa is more expensive, but... I've had Silver Oak. It's lovely. But it's... It's a steakhouse wine. It's a very expensive steakhouse wine. It always was, always will be.
Yeah.
And that's what Camus is, but that's fine. Camus makes 30,000 cases a year.
Yep.
I don't think it should cost $99. I don't think it should cost anywhere near that. I think it should be $59-$60. I think that's where it should be. If it's $59 to $69, I have no problem with Camus. At $99, I think it's asinine. I think it's absolutely fucking asinine.
I think we regularly see it actually at $89, but still, that's
$10. That's stupid. You can buy elite Bordeaux's, really, not maybe first growth, but you can buy really good Bordeaux's, maybe ones that are up-and-comers that have sky-high reviews that are going to age for decades for that price. Yeah. You can buy anything at that price that, you know, so.
It's also hard that you have a Heights and a Skyside in drink. That's also like, a little bit hard to see as well.
I know.
Dang it.
So now we're on to the finals.
Okay.
We're going to start off with a dump.
Doesn't that hurt your heart a little bit that Skyside and Heights are in the same?
No, well, they're no, not.
Heights is in
Collect. Heights is in Collect. Turley's in Drink.
Oh, I did write it wrong.
Oops. Yes, you did. Good thing you're keeping those notes. Did you write it in block letters?
Leave me alone.
Clown.
It's because you didn't let him write in block letters.
It is. This is just harassment. My normal I can't even write.
Ugh. No, I know you can't.
It's because you're being harassed.
Why did you make fun of my mother? Well, okay, so we're going to start off with the dump class, all right? And that is Chateau Bordeaux or Bordeaux number one, Martin Ray Napa Cabernet, and Camus.
Well, this became a little bit of an easier game.
Yeah.
Did it?
Camus plainly is the winner.
Of what, collecting?
Of being dumped.
Oh, you're going to dump that one?
No, it's the winner.
Oh, you're collecting. You're collecting it.
Yeah. You're doing collect, drink, dump of the dump?
Inside of the dump.
Yes, that's the game.
Ooh, okay.
Camus. The dumps Martin Ray.
I would just dump both of them and save my drink for a later category.
Well, that little French thing was pretty good.
Yeah, I agree.
It was pretty good.
If I hated it, then I guess I'll keep Martin Ray. I'll drink it and then collect Camus.
Well, Camus won that, but yeah, Chateau Bordeaux did get second in the dump. Good job, and Martin Ray. You know, well, he lost. Mm-hmm. But none of these wines are losers. But I didn't have Colcou in here because that sucked. But next, the drink category, folk, the Vajdio, the Skyside, and the Turley.
Really just comes down to personal preference, you know, how much you like the Vajdio. Yeah. I gotta go
more than Turley Cabernet.
I gotta go Turley Vajdio Skyside.
Yeah, same. That's me.
Yeah. I agree. I think we all agree about that. Mm-hmm. Although I do love the Vajdio.
Really, the Vajdio is really good.
It is really good. Good job, Turley. But now we're in the championship bracket. We're not screwing around anymore.
Well,
we always screw around, but it's. You know, the Ridge, the Fidelity, you know, getting my one down, and the Heights. Oof.
I have to go Heights, Ridge, in that order, and honestly, not close.
I'm the same. Heights would be the collect, but I've also drank. Not tons of Heights, but everything I've had from Heights is so, like, exceptional, such a cut above. And I've only had one Ridge, so I couldn't speak to, you know, their catalog or what else they offer. Ooh. But
they offer a lot.
Well, I think that we were all very motivated to go buy a lot of Ridge after the tasting. But I'm just saying, Heights is a known.
I know I was.
But Heights is a known. You know what you're getting. And sure. Ridge, I don't know. So
Ridge, you do know what you're getting. Now, Heights, though, is, once again, I agree. I would drink the Ridge. I would dump Fidelity. Sorry, Fidelity, I like you. You made it in the collect. What do you want? And then I would collect Heights because I do.
You know, just because, and we're talking about the Napa, but for what it is and the price point, it's, you know, if you're just starting to collect things, and you want something to hold back 5, 6, 7 years, you could go, a lot longer than that choice. As if you're going to start with 5 bottles, Heights Napa, good way to start.
Mm-hmm. Heights Napa costs under $60. Totally. Yeah. And guess what they also
Camus. You're talking to Camus.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was telling Turley that too.
What?
Oh, height is also something.
They have a vintage port, which is amazingly delicious.
Height, they do. Height is also something that when you see it on a wine list, when you see it in a wine store, that you're like, oh, look at you. You know, oh.
And I mean, Martha's Vineyard is magnificent. I've had that on a couple occasions. The trail side, we had a bottle of 2006 for your birthday a couple years ago, but then I still have a bottle of 2010 or 2008, mm-hmm. which, you know, we'll open that down the road. Maybe, Scott, you will be around for that mm-hmm. this next time.
And don't you feel like when you see height somewhere that you're like...
I don't know if I'll make
like,
it that long, you know?
Yeah.
Don't you feel like
no,
that?
No.
I'm so aged and decrepit, apparently. I might not live long enough.
I would say
agreed.
At least once a day, Rob makes it sound like you're 600 years old to our children.
They believe
well, that. According to him, Henry is the one that does that.
Sometimes. Is Scott older than God? Maybe Scott is
well,
God.
Yeah, after you run circles around and William's head spinning, then he does ask questions like that.
I'm upset. Why? Alexa said there's no heaven.
Stop.
You fucking Muppet.
Stop.
I don't know. Yeah, he talks to Alexa. They ask serious philosophical questions from Alexa. Folks, they have like an Alexa Echo show in their bedroom. So that anything that is like the most important question you could ever ask anybody, they ask fucking Alexa. And Alexa fails over and over again.
There's no context to them about anything.
Apparently she provided them with the day of light will resurrect.
The
light of day. I'm sorry, I didn't get that correctly. The light of day, Alexa has informed them, will resurrect bodies and bring them back to life.
Or that dog.
Yes, the light of day will do that. The cat, the light of day. And that's from Alexa. Amazon, yeah. Jeff Bezos. What the fuck is the light of day?
Well, here's the thing.
No.
You know, the Magic Cube might have ruined your life. They've got a better chance with the Alexa than you and the Magic Cube. You
the
still
magic
sit at
cube?
Work and
you mean like a Magic 8-Ball?
The Magic 8-Ball.
I don't do this at work. That's wrong.
Oh, so you don't play with the Magic 8-Ball, the Magic Cube.
Is that what you call it? No, I don't.
That's what it is.
I've got the Magic 8-Ball. No, you don't. There's no magic there anymore. So, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the 2018 Goldschmidt Winery Fidelity Red Wine, the Merlot, Petit Verdot, and Cabernet blend. We're going to go around the room. We're going to get some reviews. We're going to start off with a perplexed Triple B.
This is a challenging wine to score because it is different. It's a different kind of wine than what we've had. I don't regularly drink wine like this.
We often have bad wines, yes.
Touche. Yes. But it's also, it's just an eclectic, different wine. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to kind of think through other wines that you've had and where you would score this compared to them. So for me, the two things that would, you know, bump up this score would be, like we talked about the tannins. I don't know that this necessarily has like an elevated, elegant mouthfeel. Either. So I'm giving it an 88.
Oh.
Leave me alone. Merlot is also not my jam.
Yeah, I know. We know, comrade.
Anyways, but it's very nice. I would recommend it. I would gift it. whatever. Go ahead and do your reviews.
Would you give it to one of your comrades? Brothers in arms?
This is a new wine guy. This is Vladimir. I am Soviet connection with Triple B. You will stop the berating of the former KGB agent, no longer current. You will leave her alone.
How you don't get more voiceover work on AM radio, I don't know. So over to the unlicensed taxi driver.
AM radio.
Yeah.
I'm at 90.
90?
I think the Spectator got it exactly right. This is, I think Becky has some valid points. What would make this, you know, more of a superior wine? You know, it's some type of elevated mouthfeel. It's not cellarable. It's not ageable per se. A couple years it would take. But that's fine for what it is. It's really, really good. Complex, all the different 10 different things going on.
Mm-hmm.
It is demonstrating what it needs to of the Merlot, the astringency. I think it's subtle and wonderful. And let's not forget that fantastic nose. Excited to try more Goldschmidt.
I think
vineyard.
No matter what the scores are, yes, we are excited to try their wines because this wine is very good. And now on to me.
Are you giving your correct score?
I am. I wrote it down before either one of these two boo boos said anything, just so any questions might take. And we didn't do scores of integrity, although I would have been very wrong because I never would have guessed you would give it a 90.
I don't even know. Okay.
I enjoy this wine quite a bit. I love the complexity. Matter of fact, it's improving as you drink it more. But this wine does have a ceiling. And the fact that it doesn't have a tremendous amount of body, the finish is a little bit lacking. It doesn't have ageability per se. It isn't necessarily pop and pour, though. It takes, I would say, a 2-hour decant before it sings. I mean, really. And that's... This is an event wine, which is strange because it isn't an ageable wine. And I don't really know how I make that connection because in order to enjoy it, you're going to have to sit it for 2 hours in a decanter and then it'll be ready. And it's better with food. So that means it's a dinner party wine, which it would be a good dinner party wine. It would
be a great dinner party wine. For people who appreciate wines.
Yes, it would. I think a lot of people would find this appealing. Normally, though, people that are a little further down the wine drinking spectrum. Their livers are quite warmed up, as they would say. Patina on the liver. Mm-hmm. Liver patina. Some people say it's psoriasis. Or is that? No, cirrhosis. I keep messing
You've
that
up.
You've
said this before. Go ahead.
Well, it's because
some people do say it's psoriasis.
I have brain damage from my drinking.
Brain damage?
All right, let's hear your score, Rob Jordan.
Now, I actually am going to provide this wine 89 of my points.
And you sang Perestroika for my
88? I did that anyway just to give you a complex. I'm going to put it, though, at an 88 to 90. It's somewhere in that range.
Wait, what? An 88 to 90?
Yeah, you're at the low score.
And you still sang Perestroika?
Yeah. No, well, you didn't. It wasn't Perestroika.
But Vladimir is here to protect you.
Scott, try to convince me it's a 90. I just don't see it as a 90.
Be brave.
That I am being brave, because in reality it was an 88, 89.
The complexity of it.
But the complexity is there.
It really is. And so skillfully done.
It is.
From the oaking to everything about this. And it just, I'm excited for this winery to try more of their stuff. And
oh, absolutely.
What a portfolio of wines.
I'm not saying we'll drink it on the show, but the Alexander Valley's coming this week, and I might just drink it all by myself. No, I won't do that.
I'll drink this.
No, I will do it. No, I won't do it. No, you, Scott, this is a wine, though. I enjoy it. And would I drink it again? Of course I would. This is a wine that really is a Scott File kind of wine. Because it's a little squirrely in a lot of ways. And you like squirrely wines.
I do, but other than what Becky said, it just doesn't have that mouthfeel that would send this to the next level.
I take that back, though. I actually think the mouthfeel is nice. Now, it wasn't 30 minutes ago. It's nice now. It's nice enough, at least.
So describe the mouthfeel, then.
It's
talk yourself into the 90.
Nah, still, even with this mouthfeel, it's an 89.
Oh.
The mouthfeel before, it was an 87, 88. It's plush. It is plush. But plush. The problem it has is plush. The finish is plush. Short.
I thought I heard you call my name. That's plush. Mm-hmm. Plush.
And I enjoy it, but it doesn't wow me. Okay?
Mm.
It's a lovely wine, though. Lovely wine. I will say, though, at $20, it does go in the Value Price Hall of Fame.
It's freaking fantastic.
And it gets a tip of the cap. To Nicholas Cole. I know. That's a very... Because we're excited to try your... excited to try your Alexander Valley Cabernet, though. We're going to do that soon. A good wine. An exciting winemaker. Folks, check out Goldschmidt Winery. All their stuff. Napa and Sonoma. Prime places. Good wine. Interesting things that they're making. Go try them today. If you want a Cabernet or a red blend around $20... Buy it. Buy it now. Because, as everything else is gone, it will disappear after this show airs.
Yeah, that's true.
Damn it. We must have some drunk-ass motherfuckers that listen to this show that say, oh, they like that. I'm going to buy all of it.
Don't
fuck
wait.
You. Stop doing that. Because then we can't buy it. Damn Alpatagua hogs. Yeah. Sons of bitches. Ugh. Oh, garage company. Did they mention the garage? Then it disappears.
Damn it.
Fuckers. God. Can't even buy Santa fucking Carolina. Because you bastards.
Carolina.
Damn you all. Damn you. Stop it. I need to throw them off. You know this Jacob's Creek? It's delicious.
Oh my gosh.
I saw a Shiraz Cab blend tonight for $4. It's still on the shelf, but I saw it. Try it. Buy it.
$3.99.
We need to recommend bad things. Soon, folks, we are going to have, it won't be this next show, it'll be the show after. No, probably won't. Show after, soon. In the next month or so, we are going to be doing another $5 challenge.
No.
And one of those wines, Scott, I'm sorry we're doing it, is a conga. A conga needs challengers, so it's exciting.
It's not exciting, folks.
I know. Actually, next episode, we're going to have a battle of Sauvignon Blancs. So we look forward to that. Mm. I don't know that we are, but look forward to that. So, an 88, an 89, and a 90. We pretty much nailed that. Good job, guys. A Value Price Hall of Fame and a tip of the cap to the Fidelity by Goldschmidt Winery. So, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we're going to bid you adieu. But we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.